Galatians chapter number 3. Tonight we are planning, with God's help, to examine verses 6, 7, 8, and 9 of chapter number 3 and talk about the children of Abraham. Galatians 3, 6 through 9. Verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. It is a privilege, an honor, to be able to preach from it, to be able to read it, to be able to have it before us, for it to speak to us and to teach us and to correct us, to edify us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to cause joy to mount up in us. We cannot thank you enough for your word. And God, as we look at this text tonight, we pray that you would help us, because we cannot understand and rightly divide it without your help. We will go into great error if you do not help us tonight. So please help us. Keep us within the path of truth so that we may worship you in truth and in spirit. And you will be honored in all that we do and say. Speak to our hearts. Help us to see these truths. Behold your glory to us. Allow us to see it. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Amen. So the context, which is important, the context of the verses that we just read is that Paul is defending and fighting for the truth or the gospel, that salvation or our justification before God is rooted in and grounded in faith alone in Christ alone, and that works, any kind of works, do not contribute any advantage for us in our standing before God. And the Galatians knew this. They had had this very gospel preached to them. They had received it and they had believed it. But now there are some who have come into the church who were very convincingly adding circumcision and dietary laws to the requirements for salvation or justification before God, which also included their sanctification. And Paul has stated that any alteration of faith alone in Christ alone was not the gospel, but was in fact another gospel that had no power to save. If our works could contribute to our justification, Paul says, then Jesus died on the cross for nothing. Instead, Paul points out that Jesus died and in doing so did everything that God required for our salvation. And Paul, the last time we were together, equated believing in Christ with the reception of the Spirit of God, and that happens not by works, but by faith. That's what we have been looking at. It's important for us to remember that's the context of what we see and what Paul says in verses 6 through 9. So let's begin unpacking it. Verse 6. Even as Abraham did what? Believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. So what Paul is going to do, he's going to appeal to biblical history. And he is going to appeal to biblical history to further prove his point that justification before God is by faith, not works. And so Paul is going to make a comparison here, and he goes all the way back to Abraham, who, he says, believed. And having believed, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was clear that belonging to God meant being a child of Abraham. That was a understanding that the children of Abraham belonged to God. The Jews believed that. And then taught that if Gentiles wanted to belong to God, then they had to become the children of Abraham. You with me? And the only way to truly become a child of Abraham, according to the Jews, was to be circumcised like he was. So if a Gentile wanted to be saved, wanted to be part of the family of God, wanted to belong to God, then they had to become a child of Abraham, and that meant they had to be circumcised. That's what's going on here in Galatia. They believed that Abraham belonged to God and all his children belonged to God, not by faith, but by works, circumcision. So, according to the Jews, until the Gentiles were circumcised, they had no right to call Abraham their father, nor did they have a right to call God their father. The thing that was prohibiting them from doing that was circumcision or a work. So, the covenant that God made with Abraham was indeed signified by circumcision back in Genesis 17. But what Paul does is goes back farther than Genesis 17. Before Genesis 17, he goes back to when God promises Abraham a child in Genesis 15. So here's the thing. Abraham believed 430 years before the law was even given. There wasn't a law that could save Abraham. Say amen. There wasn't a law on the books. There wasn't a set of rules that might deliver Abraham. There were only promises. There was a promise that God made to Abraham of a land that he will show Abraham. There was a promise of land for the people, a promise of a people, a promise of a son, all of that culminating in the coming of Jesus Christ. All of that was promised. And so it wasn't Abraham doing a law, because there was no law, keeping the law. There was Abraham believing God's promises, and his promises, or his believing in those promises, was accounted to him for righteousness. So Abraham is just before God by believing promises, not by doing the law. Because before there was a law to obey, Abraham believed. Say amen. Now, this word believed means to trust. It means to consider something to be true. So, Abraham trusted and considered the promises of God to be true. Now the question is, what made those promises true? Well, notice Abraham believed not just promises, he believed God. So Abraham believes God. Not just the promises, he believes God himself. God had made the promises, and Abraham trusted God. And if God said it, because Abraham trusts God, he believes that whatever God says will be true. So his faith was in the God who had made the promises. So when Abraham didn't know where he was going, he trusted God would get him where he was going. When Abraham didn't have any children, he believed that God would make good on his promise. And these promises that God makes to Abraham will not be realized for years into the future, but Abraham believed them. He believed them, although he had not experienced them as reality. He was fully trusting the God who was able to do what he said he would do, and that believing in the God who said he would do was counted to him as righteousness. There's not a word in this verse about works. There's not a word in this verse about circumcision or obedience. He believed God, and it was accounted. Now, by trusting God and the promises God made to be true, it. What is it? I would think it would be what? His believing God, his faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it, his believing God, that's what it is. His faith was accounted to him for righteousness. Accounted. Credited, reckoned to him, calculated to him. This is a mathematical, financial term. Abraham believed God, and his faith was accounted to him for righteousness. There was a financial, mathematical transaction that takes place. The minute Abraham believed God, God opened Abraham an account in heaven. And immediately, God transferred righteousness to Abraham's account. So Abraham didn't open the account. Say amen. And you understand that the righteousness that is transferred, or we could say imputed to Abraham's account, was the righteousness that Jesus Christ would gain by perfectly keeping the law in his earthly body. So when Abraham believed 430 years before the law was given, God opened up an account, and the righteousness that Christ would obtain is accounted, imputed to Abraham's account. Say amen. You with me? You got to come with me here. This is good. Now, this meant that when God accounted this, put this righteousness of Christ on Abraham's account, Abraham then is considered to have a right standing before God. There is no right standing before God without righteousness. Now, Abraham didn't deposit anything in this account. Somebody help me. The only thing Abraham could deposit in this account would have been filthy rags. What is deposited in this account for Abraham is from an alien source. And Abraham's trusting of God was the very thing that triggered the setting up of the account and the deposit of Christ's righteousness. Abraham believed, and the minute he believed God by faith, he got this account that has the righteousness of Christ deposited in it. Now, some of you are looking at me sort of weird. I don't know if that's just I got something on me or I've confused you. Let me try to simplify it. Let's suppose I tell Elon that I'm going to put some money in an account for her. And when she gets 18, she can have the money. Then I go to Tyler's bank, and I tell Tyler that I want to open an account in Elon's name, and in this account, I want to make a deposit of $10,000. You with me? Now, although Elon has contributed nothing to that account, nothing. She hasn't contributed anything. Say amen. When she turns 18, she is going to be able to go to the bank, and that $10,000 will be hers. You with me? She contributed nothing. She only believed what I said that I would do, I would do. So Elon is going to benefit from just believing, not by contributing. Does that make sense? The minute we believe, truly believe in Christ, that faith is accounted to us for righteousness. We have an account set up, and God deposits the righteousness of Christ. No works, no circumcision, no doing good, just believing God. You with me? verse number 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, he sort of drives this point home here. The word know is in the imperative tense. It is a command. This is something that we should know. This is something that we must know. This is something that we should understand and we should acknowledge. If we know that Abraham believed God and his faith was counted to him as righteousness, then logically, verse 7 is true. They which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So what was true for Abraham is true for his children. And if we are to become the children of Abraham and belong to God, we have to do the same thing that Abraham did to belong to God. And that would be right here. So, to belong to God is not by natural descent, but by faith. So the thing that defines us as believers in Christ is we have put our faith in Christ alone and what He has done for us alone. And that is why Paul has been pleading with the Galatians to stop looking at how they measure up or don't measure up, and rather look at Christ who always measures up. As long as we keep looking at ourselves, as long as we keep checking ourselves, as long as we keep seeing how good we are, the more defeated we'll be. So Paul says, the sons of Abraham, the children of God, are those who are by faith. They that which are of faith, the same, those who are of faith, the same, are who? The children of Abraham. So who are the children of Abraham? Who are the children of God? Those who have put their faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, we could say, we do not become the children of Abraham by works. We do not become the children of Abraham by circumcision. We do not become the children of Abraham by not eating certain things or not doing certain things or doing certain things. We become the children of Abraham by faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We are saved the same way today as Abraham was saved in the Old Testament. By faith in God who promises us eternal life in Jesus Christ. So, all of Abraham's children believe the same gospel. His true sons and daughters are people of faith. And the way that God has dealt with sin has always been the same. Paul says that justification has always and only come by faith. The only way anybody has ever been in a right standing with God is by faith. Justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, has always been the only way that a sinful man can ever be made right with God. And some people, I think, are asking the question, what does it matter? Well, it matters because there's only one way people can be saved. It matters because people are going to hell believing something that a preacher told them that is absolutely incorrect. There's only one way that we can receive eternal life, and that is through faith alone in Christ alone. Look at verse 8. And the Scripture. What is that? What is Scripture? What is that? What is that? The Bible. Thank you. It's the Bible. You have it in your hands, right? And the Bible. More specifically here, it would be what? The Old Testament. And the Scripture foreseen that God would justify the heathen through what? Faith. Uh-oh. This is going to mess up some of your theology. And so when God promised Abraham that he would be blessed of all nations, Paul says he was preaching to him the gospel. And we know the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. Genesis 15. So here's the thing. When you go back to Genesis and you read the account where God took Abraham out and pointed to the stars and took him to the shore and pointed to the grains of sand and promised Abraham that his seed would be like the stars and the grains of sand in number, he was not talking about those who would be born Jewish. Nor was he talking about those who would keep the law. When Abraham had the stars and the sand pointed to him as the number of his seed, God was looking forward in time to all of those who would, by faith, trust in Jesus Christ alone for the right standing with God. Or, let me put it this way. See this word heathen here? That would be Gentiles. So I want you to insert your name there. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify Ron Crum through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. One of those stars and one of those grains of sand was us, who by faith would believe. Are you with me? So 430 years before the law existed, I want you to get that. 430 years before the law existed, there was a gift that was going out to you and me. That gift was faith in Jesus Christ, His imputed righteousness, His wrath-absorbing death, His victorious resurrection that would show us that we have been bought with a price and fully paid for. That was preached to Abraham 430 years before the law was given. Let me say this. 430 years before the law, when God preached this message to Abraham, you and me were a part of that message. So God wrote Scripture. That's what it says. God wrote Scripture. And it wasn't written by a God who was ignorant. It wasn't written by a God who doesn't know what His intention is, what His purpose is, and what His plan is. It was written according to His purpose and plan. I would put it this way. Thought about this today. I think I'm right. It could be that we can read the Bible backwards. Because it started with a plan and a purpose, and then God backfilled all the details. It was written with all of this in mind, the purpose of God, the plan of God, the intention of God, and then God revealed it to us progressively. So, in the Old Testament, we don't know who the children of Abraham will be for sure. We think it is the children of Israel, but when we get to the New Testament, it's all cleared up for us, right? It's not the children of Israel. It looks like it is, but we learn it's those who are in Christ by faith. See, it looks one way at one time, and then it's written with future realities in view. That verse is amazing. That verse is amazing that God recorded Genesis 15 knowing that he was going to save Mike Belcher through faith, and he preached that message that all nations will be blessed through Abraham, and I was part of it. Wow. Is that okay? All right. I see that really gets your motor running. Amen. So the Old Testament are promises revealed. The New Testament are promises fulfilled. The New interprets the Old. In other words, you can't read the Old Testament as if the New Testament does not exist. And that goes for all of the Old Testament. It all points towards Christ. So when you look at Scripture and it speaks of God's people, you have to understand that Scripture was written with an eye on the future work of God in justifying Jew and Gentile through faith. Amen? And so when you get to the New Testament, references to Israel very often are not referring to national Israel. They're referring to those who have by faith trusted in Christ for their salvation. Even Paul said to the Romans, not all Israel is Israel. Fantastic passage of Scripture. That'll help you. That'll help your theology. Verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Be of faith are blessed with Abraham. So, the plan of salvation is for all people everywhere. Not just Jews. It is for all nations. The blessing of salvation was never intended for the Jew only. It was always intended for the whole world. And those who trust in Jesus Christ for their justification are blessed with Abraham, so that all of Abraham's blessings become our blessings. By faith, we become the object of the blessing that God promised Abraham. God offers how many salvations? One. In how many Christ? One. To be shared by how many people? One people. Those who are his by faith. And the greatest blessing that we could ever have is to be justified with God. And we don't have to be circumcised to be right with God. We don't have to keep the law to be right with God. We don't have to become Jewish to be right with God. We don't have to do anything except believe. It is those who believe in Jesus Christ who receive the blessings promised to Abraham. Because salvation has always been by faith alone. Say amen. So what is the problem? The problem with the Galatians is that they have forgotten some things. And Paul keeps reminding them of the things they have forgotten. And we tend to have the same problem. We tend to have the same issues. Every one of us, in our Adamic natures, we all have a tendency to look to the law and take our eyes off God. In other words, there are times when we all think that doing good and not doing bad will win us favor with God. And what we try to do when we do that is try to earn what God has freely given. You can't earn what is given. Say amen. So, as fallen, sinful human beings, we need to constantly have our attention drawn back to and our heart pointed to the gospel. And I know that when I just constantly keep harping on the gospel, and I know you're thinking, I know that, I've heard that, you've said it a million times in 20 years. But you see, our hearts are always drawn back to the law. Our hearts are always drawn toward meriting, toward contributing, toward getting God's favor through what I do or don't do. We constantly need to hear, it's not that. It's gospel. It's Jesus Christ. He did it all. We just simply have to believe. So I keep telling you the gospel. Paul keeps telling them the gospel so that they don't drift from it and return to the law. It's in all of us to return to the law. It's so easy. It's appealable to us. If somebody would preach, do this, let me give you a list, and if you'll do this list, you'll be right with God, we'd all say, give me the list. Paul says, there is no list. Jesus took the list and he checked them all off. Just believe.